Hello and welcome to the Red or Dead podcast. I'm Maria, and joining me tonight, as always, are this wonderful band of merry men. We've got Andre Gibson.
Hello.
Oh no.
The awakening Kassam Luch. Yes.
Wow.
Hello. Kass. Hello.
Hi, Kass.
Hi, Kass. You good? Suki Vogel.
Yo.
And Eliane Kutsi.
That's right. The green light, ready to go.
Yeah, good.
I'm back.
Before we move on to the weeks going on in the world of football, we had obviously the postponed match on Sunday, which meant that we had an extra 90 minutes in our lives last week. So let's get a quick rundown of what everyone did with their added time in their weeks. Let's go to Suki, because you've been in London.
I have been
for a few days.
Look at
what did you get up to?
Dre just shaking his head in the background like he's not been at bars.
All your bars and restaurants.
He's been out. They've let him out now. Now he's out drinking and wine in a dog. And you know what? Where's our invite?
You've taken over your...
Dre's going to answer for me.
To be fair, Cass was there as well. So don't you go, you both were guilty and you both didn't invite us and then you took us a picture to rub it in how much fun you're having without us. I think that's disrespectful.
You're such a hypocrite, Ellie. One minute you say, you should keep me informed. It's all about being informed. And next minute you're like, oh, you're just sending pictures to rub it in. When I don't send you pictures and updates, then you start crying about it as well.
Yeah, all right. But I would like an invite before the pictures, personally. That's all.
Next time. You're all guilty. Dre, as we've said, Dre is just always out and about, doesn't invite anyone.
Yeah.
with his workmates.
Okay. When you had the party at your office, you had the shard. Is it shard? I keep getting confused.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you had that party, you invited me and I didn't go, so I can't complain. So I have to come clean on that straight away. I'm sorry.
That's it. Thank you very much. See, yeah, and even Cookie got to go to that.
I didn't even get an invite.
I said to Cass, why'd you bring him for? What's going on?
He did. He said, you're messing up the quota. You can't have too many of them.
I could tell from the face.
Yeah, my face dropped. I was just like, all right. I went to talk
he said,
to him.
He came up to me and he said, this ain't a Bollywood party.
He doesn't know how to hang around Asian people.
He doesn't. He hasn't got any Asian mates. That's why.
I've been on a recruitment drive.
So, we're looking at all your pictures out and about, still not seeing any of these so-called Asian mates of yours that you keep saying.
You'll be seeing some outreach programs.
For context, Dre's desperate to go to an Asian wedding. So he's just looking for Sookie's. Any Indian mate.
Sookie's Asian wedding, not any Asian.
Sookie's, he wants to Sookie's go to Sookie's wedding, and Sookie keeps on messing things up.
So is there any single ladies out there who are looking? Do get in touch and we'll hook
you up. Sookie. Have you got rid of Sookie's a fine young gentleman.
The earring yet.
A wealthy accountant.
Sookie was on the prowl when he was in London. I'll say that much for him.
No.
Yeah, he was.
Come on, don't hurt his hands. Cass, don't block him like that. Don't block him like that, Cass. Come on, man. Let the guy live.
That's not. I'm helping him out. I'm just saying he's out and he's proud.
How's that helping me out right now?
Yeah, he's a predator. Anyway, if any girls are still interested, then please reach out.
Made him sound like Uber Queen.
You know what I mean?
Arsenal are out, by the way. Arsenal just got knocked out.
Wow.
It won't be the all-English finals.
Yeah, Man U getting beat, got beat 3-2, but, you know, they're still through, so we can't celebrate that. Anyway, moving on.
All right. Well, Suki, we didn't hear about your weekend. But I'm sure it was great. It sounds like it was absolutely
too
fantastic,
much.
And maybe it's best we don't hear about it by the sound of what you got.
it was good. I was out in Battersea Park during the Liverpool United game, so I was sort of thankful that it did get cancelled because I didn't get to miss anything because I had a friend's birthday.
Okay.
Nice one. Fair play.
Cool. Ellie, how's your week been?
It's been a steady week. It feels like it's gone really quick because obviously we missed a day or the rain in the back holiday, but all in all, it's been a pretty normal week. Apart from right now, I voted today. We got votes. I don't know if you guys did, but we voted today. Kind of forgot it was on, but just managed to nip in. Played a bit of tennis today as well. Got beat by an Arsenal fan. but they got beat now, so it's even. yeah, all in all, I suffered through the, oh, we'll get into that later, suffered through the Champions League games this week. But to be honest, with the Man United game getting postponed on Sunday, I actually quite enjoyed the banter, just seeing Souness go off on one and everyone just completely blank him because they didn't like what he was saying. They just kind of literally pretended what he said didn't get said.
A bit like talking when I talk a lot of here, ass, really. Though. He was talking a lot of ass.
He was talking a lot of... Well, he had some good points within that, but it was not PC. It was PC.
He wasn't PC.
No, he had some good points.
Trying to hide it. You know, 1 minute they're for the fans and the next minute the fans are the worst thing.
You ain't for the fans. I know you ain't
fans. No, I'm not.
Captain America there. Fan. He ain't no pro fan.
Well, we're getting on to that. But anyway,
before we move on to that, Trace, your anniversary today. Happy anniversary from us all.
Yay. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
And that special woman for putting up with you for all these years. How special was she?
Mate, honestly, I'm very blessed sometimes when I hear myself speaking.
How many years are you celebrating, Dre?
11 whole years.
Wow.
We've been together longer, but yeah, 11 years.
Lovely.
Congrats, man.
A long time.
And the dedication to the podcast coming on your anniversary is, you know, it's quite something.
Yes, it's quite troublesome. Rocking waters.
Dangerous.
So I will, I mean, this will be a shorter edition than normal.
By the way, I'm glad that Dre clarified he's been together longer than the 11 years they've been married. So they just didn't get married.
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't the day they got married.
Straight away. Yeah. No, this is what happened. Love at first sight. It's six months more. And then literally, yeah, we met and we was like, you know what, I like you, you like me. Let's just do it. That's what you've got to do, Sookie. None of this messing around.
Yeah, exactly. You've got 6 months from meet and greet to
marriage.
To Dre having his party.
Exactly. If Dre had it his way, it'd be a week.
In fairness, I don't mind that. You know, I'm all with Dre on this one.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. Yeah. I've got
1 week
shopping for this suit.
We're not sure if you three are making the invite yet. Me and Cass might just do a private one again.
Yeah, you're hearing this.
You've got to work your way up.
Why we're not getting invited. But,
me and you, Dre. We have a common
racism out. Racism out of the sport.
Yeah.
Reverse racism.
Outrageous.
Yeah. Speaking of kicking racism out, there was also, I mean, it was quite an eventful weekend. We also had the social media boycott from all football teams and footballing presence on social media. So it was quite an interesting weekend with so much going on. It was, you know, you didn't know where to look, what was going on. So have we done everyone? I feel like I've missed someone. Anyway.
Yeah, yourself. What did you get?
Yourself.
No, nothing.
Oh, come on.
I thought you guys were playing golf.
Yeah, what happened to the...
No, we were supposed to, but yeah,
Dragon
again,
Quest.
It's his anniversary, and he forgot, so I don't think
I totally forgot. So, yeah,
Dungeons and Dragons.
Dragon Quest.
Jurassic Park.
I drove past
World of Golf.
I hate that name so much. It's such a cheap ass name.
The World of Golf, and we're gonna go down there and visit it, and you know, prove you wrong that it's a nice establishment.
Mm.
But Marie, you did play golf this week, Marie.
I did. You're right. I did play golf. I played golf on the weekend. Mm-hmm. I played Wii golf.
Wee.
Really good.
Getting ready.
What was that?
Getting ready.
I mean, I have to say, I wasn't spectacular, but I did a few things. I'd try and use all the jargon, but I can't remember any of it, so I don't know.
Worry, they won't know them anyway. Well. Where you're going, they ain't gonna know.
Yeah, it was good fun. It was great.
You know what? Don't worry, Maria. We're gonna go to a nice golf course, and then we're proving wrong. I've got something on my sleeve I'm sorting out just to shut him up. Yeah,
okay,
I'm intrigued. we'll look forward to that. We'll be able to on our golfing soon.
Remember, if it's not a group invite,
Oh, now you want to come, eh?
Well, I'm just saying.
I want a video.
We're going to do privatization just like you and Suki do. So we're gonna...
Oh, okay. Well, we might include Ellie in our group now.
Yeah, Ellie, you're invited to our group.
All right, welcome.
No, it's he won't turn up anyway. So
yeah, he won't turn up. True.
To be honest, I'll see you in about 10
Sorry,
minutes.
Sorry, Maria. We're getting out of hand.
Sorry. No, we're getting out of hand. Let's draw it back, guys. Right. Sorry. So Sunday, we were all geared up for the Man United game. We'd set our predictions. We had some doom and gloom predictions. We had the optimistic predictions, and then it all kind of went a bit wrong. We had the Man United fans invaded the pitch, protesting outside the stadium.
Good for them.
So I'm going to go to Dre first, because I know you've got both Dre and Cass got very strong feelings on this.
Sure.
Do you feel that this was a justified action by the fans, and what do you think the outcome should have been in terms of either rescheduling the match or penalising Man United?
I mean, I'm not against the fans protesting. Obviously, raiding their own, you know, breaking into their own ground doesn't make any sense to me, and vandalising, you know, their own ground, their own club property, and then obviously Sky's property it messes the messages up for the greater good. And there's always idiots that do things and, you know, take an opportunity to lay on the goal, score goals and play, messing up the pitch, you know, going in the change rooms and, you know, doing all God knows what. Like, it just doesn't, you know, to the people that matter, that the people that actually make the decisions, then you just look like thugs and idiots. So I think that I was shocked that Man United, you know, didn't have enough security to be able to stop that from coming into the ground. So therefore, from a safety point of view, and then also the fixture list piling up and the inconvenience, and it's pretty much at the hands of Man United. It's therefore, I'm not blaming the fans outside who are protesting. Yeah, do your thing. But yeah, Man United should be held accountable. So she should have actually been docked the points. Personally, I think they should have. Because it's their fault. If you let fans run into the ground and do all that stuff for them, you know, you have to cancel a fixture because of, you know, your unorganization, then you should be punished.
Okay. Cass, what are you?
I mean, they've been protesting the right way for more than 10 years now, and no one's listened to them. So you have to take more dramatic action. The protesting out the stadium and all of that is fine, but it means nothing. It changes nothing. You've got to take more direct action. Should they have gone as far as damaging property and getting the game called off? No. But were they right to take the next step up from protesting outside? 100% yes. You've got to make them listen, because no one's listening. More than 10 years. We're talking about 1 year of protests at Liverpool or 2 years of protests at Liverpool. They've been going at it for 10 years, complaining about their owners draining the club, putting them in debt, all of the stuff that we're worried about happening at our club. And they've been worried about it for 10 years and no one's listened to them. So, yeah, no, good for them. They did the right thing. Like I said, a few people went too far, but it doesn't matter what sort of protest you have. We've had protests and celebrations outside our stadium and people start throwing rocks at opposition buses. That it's those one or two idiots that are going to ruin it no matter how you protest or how you do it. So, yeah, I'm not going to blame them for one or two idiots ruining what was a legitimate protest in my mind.
Do you see this changing anything for Man United? Or do you feel that it's actually amplified has it made a difference, or has it actually made things worse?
I think timing-wise, because it comes off the back of the Super League stuff, it has made more questions being asked of the Glazers. I know in America, a couple of reporters got to ask him directly about what he thinks, and he hasn't answered it, or he hasn't gone about it or anything.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll change. But ultimately, if he doesn't want to sell it, he's not going to sell it. So, and they're stuck in that situation, but we're stuck in the same situation as well, quite frankly. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Okay. Let's bring Ellie and Suki in. What were your thoughts on goings-on the weekend?
Yeah, I'm with Cass on this one. I just think that there's a point or there's a limit where you can rightfully protest. And actually, unless you do go past the line, when does change really happen? I think actually we saw it talk about a lot this past year with the Black Lives Matter movement and things like that. And obviously that got to a point where looting happened. And I completely understood that. I thought that it had to get to that point. And I just feel, yeah, this has reached a breaking point for them, and it's got to that point. So I don't see an issue with anything that happened. Unfortunately, I think sometimes you do need to do certain things before people start taking note. That would there have been this much media attention from Sky, from the clubs, if that didn't happen? So I don't have issue with it. In terms of points, I wouldn't want us to have 3 points out of that fixture that way. I don't know when they're likely to schedule it again, but...
Oh, they've announced it. It's on the 13th.
Thursday. That's good. So at least we still get to play them.
They're at a disadvantage. They have less time to recover from their last game, and they've got more fixtures coming up. So if anything, it helps us.
And we probably need to start playing better as well before playing.
I don't know about that.
No, we need to, that's for sure. That was just it.
Whether we will is a different story.
Yeah. So I mean, I'll be honest, like, you know, I think there's time, I think and sometimes we try and simplify things too much and make it black and white. But sometimes you can be right and wrong at the same time. I think this is one of those. I completely understand why they did what they did. And in fairness, you know, I mean, I didn't want the game to be called off. But the fact it was called off is like the biggest game in the Premier League, you know, historically. And they managed to get it called off. And that says that's a big, big message to the owners of that club. So I think as far as they're concerned, it would be mission accomplished. Now, do I agree with there's always a few idiots that spoil it for the masses, and I think that was the case once again. And I feel for them because, like Cass and Sukiv said, and Dre to a degree, I mean, there isn't... What else can you do as a fan? Literally, what else can you do? You know, these guys who own the club sit in their ivory towers, miles away, probably not even in the country for a lot of the time, don't speak to you. Yet they run everything regarding your club, you know, and there's nothing you can do about it, actually. You know, there's nothing you can do. And if you can sit there, smile and vote and, you know, go to these referendums and AGMs and all that, they'll just nod and smile at you and do what they want anyway. And you know, like, after that's been going on for like 16 years. You know, you can understand why there's a built up angst. However, that said, the idiots that were doing most of the damage were probably early 20s. So they don't even know what they're in about. So, you know, that's ridiculous. You know, they shouldn't have even been involved. You know, they just got carried away at the moment, actually let out the house for a bit, got too excited, start going crazy. But yeah, you can't condone it, but I can understand it. And also, I don't think they should get docked 3 points. Not because they don't deserve it. They do 100% deserve to be docked 3 points. It's because we don't deserve it as Liverpool to get 3 points. We should go out and play and beat them and get it properly. If we can't beat them and get the points to give ourselves a chance at top four, then we don't deserve it. I at the end of the season, if we do somehow manage to get top four, having been given 3 points against Man U, I don't think I'd ever be able to live that down. You know, it'd be disgusting.
I'll come back on one thing. I think. Well, one, like that, to me, top four and all that stuff is done. Our season's done, as far as I'm concerned. We're just playing games, you know, for the rest of the season. In my personal view. But what I would say is that if people actually want to make a change, then, you know, the sensible thing to be able to do is hit people in their pockets. Stop buying merchandise. Stop buying tickets. Stop going. You lot keep on doing this stuff and moaning about it. People keep on going. Fans keep on going to the games, buying the new kits. And this is going.
Yeah, but Jay, let me explain as well, though. The problem with a club like Man U is that they're so big that most of their fans are plastic, like abroad and stuff. So
I agree.
All the local fans in Manchester, all the hardcore, the ones that actually care and actually go to the game, they can stop buying everything.
If you don't get match day revenue, you know, when things go back to normal, if there's empty seats in the stadium, you know, if people are not buying season tickets, then that affects them.
Yeah, but exactly. I do agree with that. I mean, the thing is, right, you know, they have a massive stadium. To fill that every week is a big ask. But then, you know, they'll start doing discount corporate boxes and people haven't been able to get
but the Glazers, and just because, you know, just to be clear, the Glazers and the Cronkies only care about the LA Rams, I don't care about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
And FSG. Chuck FSG in there. Why not? They're the same.
You're coming out with conspiracy theories.
It begins.
I can't have a debate on conspiracy theories. It's like,
neither am I. But why are you saying Kroenke as American owners and Glazers as American owners?
So what money? Again, you have to come out with actual facts. Like, for us to be taken seriously.
All right, let's do that. So
what have they been taken at?
This week you were celebrating very loudly that we're getting $735 million from selling
That's happened already, but yeah, go on.
Yeah, okay. So there's your question. There's that $735 million. Where's that going? How much of that is going to go into buying?
But that's my point.
Yeah, that's my point.
All right. So hear me out on one thing. The end of the day is that this is that unlike you, I'm in no illusion that it's a business. These people are going to be making. They're not doing this because they just love the game. They're not doing this because, you know, it's a charity. They're doing it to make money. So, you know, if I run a business, so does Ellie. So we both understand that profits need to be made.
Yeah.
So therefore, like, I'm not having an unrealistic romantic expectation that.
No, but they are.
What I'm saying is that I expect the club to be well run, for it not to be run into debt, for it not to be run like Man United, for it not to be run like Arsenal.
Arsenal are not in debt. Arsenal are not in debt.
No, but Arsenal they're not reinvesting in players.
Of that $735 million that they made.
That's what I'm saying. We haven't seen it. It only happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, but how much of that would you expect? Are you expecting half of that?
I'm hoping for a minimum of $200 million to be spent on players. That's what
What I will say with that is that that isn't an investment into. They haven't got that for free. They've lost equity to get that money. That's their prerogative as their business.
I don't doubt the business side of it. I get that that's a business decision they've made, but I'm asking how much of that would you expect to go back into the club? You could say nothing, and that's fine.
I'm hoping for two. I think it's realistic to have a budget now because obviously we've got like a serious rebuild in the midfield. You know, we have to confirm Kazakh. we have to get rid of some players.
Easy. Just calm down. I know you're angry right now, but don't speak out of turn, you know?
Because he knows where it's going. He's sitting this bridge of life.
He gets scared. He gets scared when the conversation comes down to names because he knows what's happening.
When I hear midfield,
he gets a sweat on.
he starts getting upset. I'm with you on a lot of things, Kaz, but at the end of the day, is that also I'm realistic about. You know, in the days that these guys are, I feel personally that, you know, when I look at the balance books, they've really been managing our team, our club well. Now, the end of the day is that, yes, every company, and that's what they are, makes mistakes. So Starbucks have made mistakes, you know, Apple has made mistakes, you know, so no one does things right completely all the time. But what I'm hoping for is that to minimize silly mistakes and the most silly mistake that they've made, and it's the most juvenile mistake to make, is not build when we're on top, not buy players to be able to add to the squad, to add to competition.
It comes down to money and investment.
A bad decision. I don't think it comes down to that they haven't got the money. It's one. Them thinking that we can keep it going because we've had this for the last 3 years with minimal injuries. Klopp is saying no, we don't need to add players and we don't want to get players in who are just going to be sitting on the bench. I don't want to disappoint them. All of that mindset has to change. So yes, I never want us to be like a Man City soulless club who, you know,
in Champions League final, winning the league.
It doesn't matter. But
it does matter. It matters a lot.
But we've won it as well. So, and they've never won it. So we've got a far bigger history than them. I think it's unrealistic.
What about Chelsea? They've won it.
Every single season. Yeah, but they've got oil money and the other one's got Saudi money.
Chelsea's a good example.
Do you want your club to be? Do you want your club to be run like Man City and run?
Middle ground.
Yeah.
Middle ground.
I don't know. To be honest, I don't know if there is a middle ground these days. I think you do have to spend to compete, or you accept Arsenal. Your option though, Dre, and you have to accept it, is if we're not going to compete. But we're not that far. We're not that far. We're both out of Europe. We're 10th. We're 7th. There's not okay. that much difference.
Yeah, but you're speaking about one season. So if we're having
the but over the course of the Premier League, they've done better than us.
I will be with you completely. You'll hear me. I'll be there with the board saying FSG out if we are in the same exact position next year. But the end of the day is that I believe that our club is a well run club, and then they put money back into the club, into the facilities, into the stadium, into the training complex, into players. So therefore, I've got no problem at the moment. But
this is where Arsenal were. This is where Arsenal were about 10 years ago. A well-run club. A well-run club. Investment in facilities. They got a new stadium out of it. They got a new training ground out of it. They got some big-name players at that time. They got into the Champions League finals. They won the Premier League back-to-back, invincible, all of that stuff. They had that. Okay. Our peak is equivalent to their peak. Over the last two or three years, we've had the same peak that they had.
Sorry, I don't want it to be like a cat and draping. But like, I don't think it's fair for you to put us on the same level as Arsenal. Like, Arsenal's very good, you know, take my hatred away from it. They're a very, you know, big club, deserve more investment in players.
It must be a special day.
But
complimenting
the end of day,
Arsenal. Complimenting Arsenal. So
they're still getting away from it.
Anniversaries.
Because he can't say the alternative.
The moon is aligned with the sun at the moment.
He doesn't want to be the other side of the argument is you put in a lot of money and then you get to the top, which is the other option.
What do you want?
That's no, what okay,
I want.
Okay,
I want success. I want success. Success.
Yeah, okay.
Success.
Let's go back to the
of our club.
At any cost without debt, yes.
Okay. But let's go back to the Arsenal argument, because I think that's a bit different, actually, because Arsenal, at the time when we were languishing and selling Suarez, they were buying like Alexis Sanchez, Mesut Ozil. At the time, those guys were like the best players in Europe. Okay, they did sell Van Persie once. They did sell Van Persie. Okay, the best player at the time. But they actually did buy some pretty big players at the time. But the problem is, and this is where it went wrong, is that they stopped trying. And you know what? And I actually empathize with the Arsenal owners to a degree, because they bought big. They spent, let's not forget, they bought Aubameyang, right? 60 million. Pepe, 75 million. Lacazette, 50 million. Like, they're not like bumps. These guys at the time, you know, what's his name? Lacazette was one of the best strikers in Europe when they signed him. Literally, he was seen as a top prospect in France at the time. Aubameyang was one of the top strikers in the world when they signed him. Pepe was seen as the top prospect that summer, you know, and Thomas Partey in midfield was seen as, you know, arguably one of the best DM center, you know, defensive midfield. Man, you after him for years in the world. Tierney was seen as one of the best left backs. You know, Bellerin's given loads of love. All I'm saying is that Leno, at the time when they signed the keeper, he was one of the best. Their problems have come from not being able to get it right on the pitch. And the owners, I think, have just said, you know what? We're not going to put any more in. Because we're putting what we've seen, we're putting the money in, and you ain't giving us nothing back. You know, we look at the money we put in. We're 10th, you know, with all that we put in. Look, who've they actually, think about Arsenal, right? Who've they actually sold? Okay, even the time when they let Alexis Sanchez go, they got Mkhitaryan, who at the time came from Germany one season earlier, top assist maker in the German the Bundesliga before he went to Man U, and they ruined him. So it's not like he got a bad player back. Now, we've been dealing, on the other hand, have been dealing with literally, no disrespect, but dross. I mean, let's be honest now. We had like Jay Spearing playing centre mid for us at the next big home. Oh, do you know what I mean? That was, you know, we had Ricky Lambert, you know, signed for 3 million for sight, and they thought, yeah, let's go. Balotelli up front, you know, and what's that guy, Barini. And they were saying, yeah, let's go. Now, there's a big difference between that and where we're at now. Now, the problem I have is, I agree about the length.
We were finishing top four back then, and we're not finishing top four this season.
I'm with you on this season. I agree that the season's been a failure, and I agree with that. But what I'm saying is, I think we have to see what happens in the summer, because we've never been in this position before where we've had enough success that we can say, okay, the owners haven't invested. Yes, they didn't invest after the Champions League. After the Premier League win, they had a kind of reason. Well, for me, it's unforgivable was the January one when we were actually top, given everything that happened, injuries glory. It wasn't like we had a full squad and we were top and they needed to add more players. No, we were on bare bones. We had no defenders left. And they left us hanging. They left us hanging when we're top. Now, that's, for me, is unforgivable. They made a lot of, not unforgivable, but it is unacceptable.
But
sorry.
You do know that Klopp is part of that decision as well.
No, maybe. But okay, as a group, it's unacceptable. As a group, it's unacceptable for me. But next year, having seen what's happened this year, should they not react now, then I am going to have the biggest FSG out sign you could ever see. It'll be on the moon. You'll be able to see it. Like, it's that big, we're talking. Because there's no way that if they don't do anything now, it shows you what they have in mind. It's cash cow, take money, leave. Where we differ from the Glazers as well is that the Glazers actually take money out of the club. Our owners at least haven't taken money out, you know, yet anyway. They haven't
that's
been one of
those. That's so why I don't understand.
I can't beef that much. I can't beef that much.
It's because their valuation's gone from 500 to over 3.5 billion.
They made it.
They've made six times fold in 7 years.
But they won't make money until they sell. They have to maintain the value.
They've made the right decisions.
Yeah, but they have to maintain the club value to take the money. If they don't maintain the club value, then
they've
already
sold 750 million. That's cash.
They've made their money back. Anything now is a profit.
Yeah. So I don't expect any of this 750 million to be put back in, to be honest. That's not an issue with me personally. But what is an issue is, irrespective of whether they'd sold that percentage or not, I'd want them to put money in. So it's not because they've sold this 10% or whatever percentage it was for 750 that I am expecting money to be in. They should be putting money in anyway.
No, I agree with that 100%. It doesn't matter what happens. They have to. I mean, Look at Abramovich. Chelsea squad last year was arguably, I would say even then, people forget how good they were. They had, like, you know, Pedro, William and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they still had probably the second or third best squad in the league at the time last year. And then they spent 280 million on top. Like, think about that. And they weren't like miles off. They were just
But that's what I'm saying is that it comes down to businesses. Our Correct. Business model is different to Chelsea's.
Chelsea, I agree.
He sold one of his companies and then just ploughed all that money into Chelsea.
Yeah.
Chelsea is his toy. Like, he can
But my
point is this, is, and this is where I disagree with Cass. I definitely want, you know, investment to be put in. And I think we all should be, you know, quite happy if we bought £200 million worth of players, which is quite easily done. Now,
what happened?
I don't care if I you want more than that.
No, we won't get 200 anyway. million. I would want more than that.
We will sell 200.
As long as we got, I don't care who comes and goes. As long as we have a strong squad at the start of the season to be able to compete for the league and to compete for the Champions League, I don't care how they do it. I don't care if Salah goes. I don't care.
Really? Come on, man.
As long
don't
as you
that.
Have someone to replace, that's my point. Like, not right, for you the to level, just the bankroll. Yeah, right, like, right, obviously, right. I'm not saying that we just want to really sell everyone and get shit in. If as long as we've got a team that we can all collectively say, you know what, this team can actually compete for the league. This team could compete for the Champions League.
You all think that this team now can compete. You all think, oh, we can walk it.
But that's the
Ellie still says, our best 11 now could be Chelsea and Man City, and that's just talking nonsense. That is talking nonsense because in your mind. Our best team is those players from 3 years ago or 2 years ago. There's our best team with Mane on the pitch, with Firmino on the pitch, with Ronaldo on the pitch, is not going to compete with those players.
Yeah, but
at all.
I don't think that's our best team at the moment.
Is dead.
I don't think that's our best team at the moment, though. I think Jota gets in our best team.
Yeah,
I think.
And
I
who
don't
else?
Think, why
who,
not?
Who's
I
our front three? Who's our front three right now?
Our best front three at the moment, I'm sad to say, is actually Bobby, Jota, and Salah.
And that front three this season, having seen them play, is as good or better than
Man
City.
Let me just take it back a couple. Let's remember the games when we actually played these guys. Chelsea, yes, they did outclass us. It was a 1-0 win to Chelsea. 1-0.
But we
absolutely toyed with them in the first game. We toyed with them. They outclassed us in one game, we outclassed us the other game. So I'm calling that evens, right? Man City first game, they got, okay, fine. We were wasteful, but even that was a close game, 1-1, the first one. The second one was 1-1, and then Ali handed them two goals on a plate.
No, but our
goal was in.
So lucky on that one. We got
You're answering your own question. When we're talking about our best players, you're blaming Alisson. Who's our best goalkeeper?
Did Van Dijk play, Cass, though?
Yeah, but who's our best goalkeeper?
Did Gomez play?
But this is why I think the actual argument is stupid, because at the end of the day is that, like, I believe that if we have our normal defence fit and healthy, then in this season, let's say, you know, there was no Van Dijk injury, there was no Gomez injury, then we would finish top four. We wouldn't win the league because
we would have won the league.
The reason why I'd say that we wouldn't, Ellie, is because I feel, and I've said this before, that those guys have been run ragged for the last like 3-4 years, and I think that it's just time. Things come, everything comes to an end.
So I mean, no, but that is my point.
Season have been better than us.
100%.
Yeah, but they weren't the start. I'm sorry, but you can't. Okay, but
You can't say a season is 3 weeks long or 4 weeks long or 2 months long. A season is a season, and that's what we're talking about. Yes, this season, our team has not been up to their standards at all. It's as simple as that.
The point difference tells you. At the start of the season, because at the start of the season, everyone was saying we're miles ahead. They were.
Cass, sorry to keep on cutting, guys, but if we had no injuries at all and we had a season like we had, I would be right there with you, Cass. But at the end of the day, it's a silly debate, because at the end of the day, you could say we have a shit season, but there is a massive reason why we
Separate things. What I'm talking about is the players. Mane has not been shit because of injuries to Van Dijk. He is done. He's finished. Now, I agree with you that it's probably accumulation of 2 or 3 seasons beforehand, but whatever it is, this season, he has not been good enough, and whether Van Dijk was on the pitch or not, he would not have been good enough. Same is with Bobby, and the same with Ronaldo as well. Those players are done, whether it's fatigue from 2 or 3 seasons, overplaying, whatever it is, they are not good enough. And that's what I'm saying, that our best 11, which you have to include players like that, would not be good enough to beat the best City can put out or the best that Chelsea can put out.
I don't subscribe to that. You know, we're talking about two teams, Henderson not playing, having to play centre back for like 2-3 games, and Fabinho playing centre back, and Hendo being injured, and Fabinho
you're picking on the good players. You're not picking on Mane or Firmino or Wijnaldum, who are just not good enough.
Yeah, but I know, but the point is, if Hendo plays, Wijnaldum doesn't play as much. And that's a fact. We've seen that. Because we needed a captain. The only reason why Wijnaldum's been playing is we need a captain on the pitch. Who else we got as captain?
Mane and Firmino, there's no excuse for how bad they have been.
Mane and Firmino, I happen to think that if Origi was even kind of fit, he might have played. But
If you're putting Origi up against Chelsea or Man City,
are you going to let me finish?
We heard you.
Let me finish and then come. I was saying that. I said I actually think they've been so bad that even Origi would be ahead of them at the moment. But what I was saying though is that we had the front three. I said was the best is Jota, Firmino and Salah. Now, over the course of the season, the reason a lot of the players have been suffered and have not been able to play is because Klopp said he's had to change the back so much that he needs to have some stability somewhere on the pitch, in which he's chosen midfield. Now, the reason why Wijnaldum plays a lot, A, is because he's captain, either him or Milner's because they're captain. Does it mean that Klopp wants to play them all the time? I don't believe he actually does. I think he just needs a leader on the pitch. Hendo on the pitch, he plays every game. For being on the pitch, he plays every game in there. And then that gives you a lot more freedom to play someone a bit more creative in front of them, whether it's a Naby, Thiago, whatever, right? I don't think Wijnaldum would play very much. And then you look at the back, you know, the back at the end of the day, like, a lot of our plays builds from the back. And even Ali, like, a lot of his, he's gone from having a solid back four to having these guys around and run in front of him thinking, what the hell's going on? And not to forget, Ali's been injured like 2-4 times as well this year. He's not like, not to mention the sad loss of his father as well on top of all that. So I'm just saying that, you know, at the start, even when we were at our best, people were saying, if we even had a full squad, we would walk it. Because it was clear to everyone
that they were wrong. That was wrong from the start.
Have impacted our form of our players and the confidence. And
exactly.
It's removed the creativity. It has impacted.
I disagree. No, but we were...
come back or not, I do feel those injuries have impacted the creativity. So don't get me wrong, there's things about Mane and Firmino which are done. But I do think our general team play and form has been impacted by these injuries and people playing out of position. Now, I agree with Cass that I don't think our full team probably would have, because even when we were ahead of City, if you have a look at the amount of points City are now going to get still by the end of the season, I don't think we would have been there, even with
our... Yeah, but that's another thing that we don't know. Exactly. I'm not saying that we would win the league. I'm with you guys on the fact that with the team out of form, like with the forwards out of form, I just feel that this season was one season too much. I feel that if we had the defence, then we would have finished top 4 comfortably and then we could rebuild. I don't feel that, like, you know, at the end of the day, we were that terrible. You know, I don't think that we'd be nowhere remotely as terrible if we had our center, if we had all of the Van Dijk, Gomez back. There's no evidence for me to be able to say.
Well, it's a 7-2 against Villa. I would use that.
That's one game.
Top of the league at Christmas. No, top of the league at Christmas.
Like we said, everyone was poor up until Christmas. Even Man City and Chelsea, who have had a good season and they will have a good season by the end of it, were poor up until Christmas. And so were we. And it was just very close and very tight between a very poor set of teams. But now at the business end of it, I mean, Chelsea, fair play to them. They made the big decision, which is get rid of a manager when they're not doing well and put in a proper quality manager, which is something that you could look at for other teams to do. And City's class just came out in the end. City have the best squad.
City's money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. But if City's money, their team, their squad, whatever you want to call it, it will come out on top in the end. And it has. And it will come out on top in the league.
That goes into the argument that you and I have been having all day long, which is, the end of the day, is that we're moving towards... we're moving towards...
Hey, man.
I'm going to do the...
Maria, this is the other argument. So before we get on to that, what is your thoughts on in general? Yeah. Do you think this... The question was, in terms of our first 11, our best 11 that we can put out, are they good enough to even compete with the top teams in the Premier League?
I mean, I have to say I'm actually with Cass on this one. I do think they've been impacted, of course, by all the things that have happened, and that goes without saying. They were top at Christmas, but it was really close. I mean, at one point, Tottenham were top. We had everyone was top before we were. So there was a lot of swapping and changing, chopping and changing.
City weren't.
But they were afterwards. I think there was loss of form before, and we've spoken about this so many times. The loss of form was coming, and it was really gradual. It started gradual, and then at Christmas it was like it just got to the point where all the cracks and all those little niggly things that had been going on for a long time, it just came to a head, and with Hendo then being out and. Jota was out briefly, well, for quite a while and so on. It collapsed. And that's where we saw those big cracks, the lack of rebuild, which should have happened. And that's where we see that's where I think there's an issue with both FSG and with Klopp. So FSG didn't invest. But as we've already said, there could have been some investment in the straight after the, the Premier League win, but Klopp was comfortable with what he had, and if he's communicating back, the team are brilliant, they've done amazingly, I don't need anyone else, then that happened. And yeah, and then that's where I agree with Ellie, that it was at Christmas, in January, that it's unforgivable, that then there was no transfers, there was no one bought that actually could plug those gaps, and the people they did buy, they weren't the right, I mean, obviously Kabak's done well with what's going on, he's managed to do something, but he's not a world-class player, he's not replacing Van Dijk, he's doing what he can with what he's surrounded with. So I don't think they would have won the league. They should have got top four, but they wouldn't, there's no way they would have won the league, even with the, you know, with the top, with our dream team. And that's because they're losing form, they've lost form, they're tired, they've been played every, you know, the same lot every game. I mean, sometimes it's pointless in us even making predictions on lineup. This is the same guys week in, week out. So, you know,
I just think that the reasons you have for us not winning the league are all because of injuries, though. Like the tiredness, the form,
But form is separate from injuries.
Yeah, but I don't know. Winning's a habit, losing's a habit. That's why they call it a form guide. Now, if you start losing, and it's hard to turn it around, players don't know why. There's a reason we went for 66 games unbeaten and then lost six in a row. Because the players realised they could lose. Now, look, that's a mentality. It's not easy to shake. You need certain... There's characters in every team who, when the team goes to a certain position, will pull you out of the mire. When we had that moment this season, the players we needed were not there. The players we needed that we normally rely on to to pull us out and get the team back up there, we're not there. And that is injuries. I'm sorry. That is injuries.
No, Mane was there. Mane's played more games. But he wasn't the player to pull us out of it. So you're saying he's not good enough.
I'm saying he's not. No.
He has been in the past, though.
He has been in the past.
Yeah. But then what I'm talking about is, like, there's players who appear to make the difference, as in the guys who finish it, like the Salahs and the Manes and stuff. But the real games won in the messy stuff in between and in the vocal. That's why when the first thing when Van Dijk was signed, he said he talks a lot. He's a great talker. He organises the defence. He talks. Hendo, obviously, you know, how many clips did you see when he's playing? Oh, look at Hendo shouting, getting the team in order, Because it's so, so important. And when you're losing games, that's when you look for the voice in the club. Who's going to help us? And there was no one there. You got Genie. I love Genie, but he just is not a talker. If anything, he leads by ability, and he's so tired he can't even do that at the moment, poor guy. So I'm just saying that a lot of the things that we are saying is wrong with the team now are actually due to injuries, the lack of squad rotation, because he can't change people he wants to change because we need some stability. I mean, you know, the tiredness. They're tired because they have to play.
Mane and Firmino. And what I will say is, I know you say in your top 11 now, it's Jota instead of Mane, which I'd agree with. But I don't think Jota, Firmino and Salah are a Premier League winning attack anymore.
No chance.
I think we've seen glimpses of Jota do great. I think we've also seen Jota be very average when he started games. What I will say as well is we've had some big injuries. We've had Van Dijk and Gomez, which are huge injuries.
That's it.
I think we need to accept that people like Hendo, other injuries we've had are going to be injuries we get in future years. Hendo's not going to play 38 games for us next season. He's never played 38 games for us. I don't see Alisson with the amount of injuries he gets playing 38 games next season.
Nope.
I don't see other players. I don't see maybe Trent playing 38 games. I don't think.
Look, I agree with you, Suki. And what I'm saying is, look, I'm saying normally what happens, we lost everyone. It's like we had the heart of the team cut out. The heart of the team for the last few years, the voices, the ones that were on the pitch, that get everyone together, get everyone going. Milner last year didn't really do much. Let's be honest. He was kind of, because he wasn't needed. You know, he did bits and bobs here and there. So now for him to have to come back in and suddenly be the guy, hey, everyone's like, who are you, man? You're retirement, mate. You know, telling us what. Whereas Hendo, everyone looked at him as the leader, and it's a real miss. Him and Van Dijk, you know, it's like the heart ripped out of the team. They say every league winning team has a strong spine. Ali has been, we've discussed Ali's had lots of things, injuries, family loss, all that kind of stuff. Van Dijk in front of him, Hendo, and then the strike force, which is mainly Salah, to be honest, because on the right, but the spine, Bobby used to be part of that spine. Now, for whatever reason, like you said, I agree the form has dipped, and I agree we weren't great. But if I'd have asked you lot this question, apart from Cass, if I'd have asked you guys this question, like, you know, just before Christmas, you would all been very confident that we could have won the league, you know, and in fact you were. But based on
how everyone was playing at that point.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's form, exactly. Form.
What you've all done, and Ellie and Dre in particular, is a small thing like them aging a year. You don't seem to have taken that into account for players who are in their late 20s. A year makes a massive difference. Players are aging out. Suki just said it. Henderson, when he comes back, is going to be 31 now. He is going to miss a lot of games next season, whatever you think about how fit he is or whatever. Van Dijk is 29 and he's coming back off a big injury. That's going to be a problem unless he comes back 100% fit, and we have no guarantee that he will. And obviously, Salah, Mane, they're in their late 20s now as well. And Firmino, I think he's going to be 30 actually in next season. So those are players who have aged over the course of a year, and you cannot turn around and say that they're the same players that started last season, because they're just that much older, and it makes a big difference. They're not the best players in the league anymore or the best team in the league because they've aged, even a small thing like that. If you look at the age profile of the players that City are buying, they bought young. Chelsea especially have bought young. We haven't bought young, and that's a long-term problem that we've never addressed. And that one is more on Klopp than anyone else, because he likes players of a certain age who have proven it at a mid-level, like you guys keep saying. He never goes for the superstars, but he goes for players who have played for a certain amount of years in a league, and then he goes and gets them, which is fine. But you've got to make sure there's some young players coming through, and he's never done that, which is why we're in the problem that we're in right now.
I just think that they just rolled the dice one time too many. That's
agreed.
All, like,
that's,
you know,
I think you said that perfectly.
I think it's simple. It's like stick or twist, and they just twist one too many times. And then I do think that Klopp, yeah, and I think he's if he ever did listen to us, I think he's big enough, man enough to be able to, you know, kind of put his hands up and be like, okay, well, you know what, I should have strengthened, and I should have seen injuries or lack of form, or, you know, coming in. But then obviously, if you're gonna let go of someone like Lovren, who's just won a league with his team that he's just moved to, and he's the captain of that team, then you have to think, okay, well, we have to replace him with you know, high of equal standard, or if not double up. We had a defensive problem anyway, but we just got away with it because no one was injured, you know, for such a long time. So I'm not scorched earth. I do think that, you know, yes, you know, again, I did say at the start, when we started to tumble off, I think one of the first people to be able to say, has this team kind of just burnt out now? Have they just run
definitely not the first
to the ground? Well, you was pissed off that we won the league, so...
Yeah, I was right. We've had this conversation. I was right, because I called it.
No, you weren't right.
I called it.
You was... The end of the day is that what they should have done is that they should have... You know, all teams have to, you know, literally strengthen when you're at the top. The thing that, obviously, what we're going to next is, how can you do that in this climate?
You spend
how
money.
Is it possible?
You spend money.
But that's what I'm saying. You keep on coming out with that like it's like it just grows on trees.
No, I come out with it because I come out with it because that is the answer. You're asking a question. There's a separate conversation about whether it's right or wrong. But the question is, how do you improve? You spend money. There's no debate about that.
And that's okay.
That debate is done.
Where do we go? And this is what I was going to ask you, Maria, is that the end of the day is that what do you, and I've asked all of these guys, and then Suki and Cass never come up with any form of solution. They're great with the calling fire, but can't find the fire extinguisher. Do you want your club to be? Do you want your club to be Man City? Do you want your club to be Chelsea? Do you want a soulless club where if the man walks away, then you're fucked? Do you want that?
I don't know why you say we haven't answered that question, because I think we have answered that question.
Yeah,
I,
you just don't want to listen.
No, I ain't listening to you because you come out the same rubbish.
You don't like us.
Both you and Ellie have had monologues today. I think Suki should answer this uninterrupted.
Where are you? The longest one answered.
I want us to be a club that spends more than what we're currently spending. I don't want us to be the net spend of however much our net spend has been for the last however many seasons. I think there is a middle ground. I think that you can spend, you need to spend more than what we spent, but you don't need to spend as much as the Cities and the Chelseas. And to be honest, I don't want to spend as much. I don't want to buy a whole team. That's not the solution. But I want to buy one or two great players and some small.
You had that.
We haven't had that.
For what you've just been saying, if you look at your trophy cabinet, that's what you've been having.
I've just said we've had a net spend of 15 to 20 million, which is lower than all the big clubs around the world. I don't even know
But if it's working, and this is my point, is that because unlike those two teams, Chelsea and Man City, like where they could just spend endless amount of money, break laws, you know, there's no rules for them, it doesn't matter. But we've got a responsible ownership.
You can still
based on what?
Have a higher. How do you do that? Because Tottenham ain't doing that as well. Same thing. Tottenham are a big club.
You can still be
Arsenal a big club.
Spend more money.
I agree, but let's see what happens this summer. I think that's this summer
that's the point. They rolled the dice. Dre just answered his own question there, because the teams that you're saying are responsible and aren't spending money are Tottenham and Arsenal. So do you want to be Tottenham and Arsenal, or do you want to be Man City and Chelsea? That you got to answer that.
Neither. We don't want to be either of them.
Who we are is a separate path where we've actually been responsible and we've still been getting amazing results. Right. Yes,
short-term success.
Short-term
success. Short-term success.
But then that's what Man City is. Man City is...
No, it's not short-term. How is there short-term success? That's nonsense. That's absolute garbage.
Right, or let me answer why. The end of the day is that Man City, if those owners walk away, there's no structure there for them, for that model to continue. It just that's the end of their club. And that's what I wouldn't want for mine.
What structure is there for the club to continue with that? If we could go back to a Hodgson, we could go back to a terrible manager. I think you're placing far too much structure. It depends what management's in there. If they're
you only... do realize that we almost went out of business. So doing that structure of spend, like Hicks and Gillette.
They weren't spend. They were just take.
Or whatever they did.
No, but that's different. That is different.
Yeah, but that's fine. But at the end of the day, is that if you look at like Kroenke has a stadium for the LA Rams to be able to be, he puts his money into that shit. You know, the Glazers put their money into the Bucks, and they've won the Super Bowl. Their first passion isn't, you know, football, Premier League. They don't
care.
They
should go there. Man United should be here.
Right, and they shouldn't, but they are going to be there. So until Man United fans stop buying the shirts, stop buying the tickets, shut up. Because the end of the day is that, you know, nothing's going to change while that happens. While you're ramming out the stadiums.
Yeah, but the plastic fans don't care. The plastic fans don't care.
The problem is, that's not going to happen. People aren't going to stop buying the shirt.
Well, then don't moan them. Because the end of the day is that's what's paying them.
Yeah, I mean, the club has grown into such, you know, they're so huge and across they're a global corporation that actually it isn't really about the football. It is about the revenue and bringing in the money and so on. And it's about the brand. And the brand will live on regardless of those games.
Yeah, but the brand won't live on.
Even when they were losing.
The share prices will go down. If there's empty stadiums,
when they were losing, the value went up, but
they're still selling shirt sales. They're still, you know, they're still selling memorabilia. People still walking around. They still buy
the shirt memorabilia.
Plastic fans will shop.
I'm telling you this. If you have an empty, half empty stadium or three quarters empty stadium,
they're used to it now anyway. They'd be fine.
Yeah, but if you have a half empty stadium or a quarter empty stadium, as you say, with American owners, they do what they do in America, which is franchise it and move out of town. And that's what Dre wants. Dre wants us to move to an American model.
No, nonsense.
How many times? He wants salary caps.
He wants spending caps.
He wants the American model. And he says, oh, we shouldn't be afraid of it. But exactly your scenario is that if we go into that model,
I'll let you go first, because you and Ellie
have had a long conversation with one another. I just want to get the point.
Hold on, because everyone's talking over each other. Cass, finish what Cass is frozen. Dre, do you want to bear in mind we're on a bit of time?
When Cass pops back up, then I want to hear his. I want to try to understand what the hell he's talking about because it makes no sense. So go on, Cass. It makes no sense what you're saying. But
right, my Wi-Fi is cut out now. But
I need your Wi-Fi, that
critical moment.
Yeah, I thought I might have. Dre is very in favor of American rules coming into football. He said that before, and he's in favor of American owners very clearly, as we've heard. But the problem is, he doesn't want to accept all that comes with that. He thinks you can cherry pick. Oh, we're just going to take the best bits of American sports and we're going to take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and then we'll have the perfect combination. And I'm telling you, you cannot have that. If you're going to put in American rules, then you have to accept the risk of the bad stuff happening as well as the good stuff. And I think we all agree that franchising and a club moving from its hometown to another part of the country would be the worst thing possible. But that is part of American sports.
I'm aware of that. So here's, let me educate you because you clearly don't know what you're talking about.
So the difference is that we can't have
that type of structure because it's not like the local councils are going to be helping you build a stadium. What happens in the states, each state would bid for a team to be able to come to, let's say, for example, Seattle, they wanted another basketball team. Then the attraction for a team to be moving to that city is that, oh, that state is going to help us build a stadium. That's why they move, not for any other reason. That's nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Oh, sorry, so but you've made one point. Let me answer it. So if you can't do the franchising, then you're never, ever, ever going to get the other part of it, which is the salary caps and the spending caps.
All right, here's the thing. And it's about having the discussion. And I think that as fans, we have to, if you care about the game, and everyone's like, you know, caring about the sanctity of the game and the purists and everyone are talking. the end of the day is look where the actual game is going. I'm going to do your scorcher thing right now. The same way that you can predict that we ain't going to win nothing, we ain't going to win shit, you know, for the next 5 years, and we're not going to be in the Champions League and so forth. I can tell you this, on what the route that we're going now, we are going to have million pounds. Like, how much are like the most players? Who's got the biggest wages in the UK at the moment? I don't know if you.
Probably Gareth Bale still, to be honest, but most of it being paid by Real Madrid.
Right. So how much is he on?
600,000 a week.
Right. Okay. So let's say, for example, like players, the biggest players that we have in the UK, they are going to be earning, you know, let's say around 400,000 at the moment.
Yeah.
With that trajectory at the moment, it's going to go. It'll be no time until someone's going to be earning £1 million a week.
That's fine.
Things are going, but that's not fine because that's not sustainable.
That's fine. They were saying that people were saying that. Hang on, people were saying that when the first player made £10,000, they would say, "Oh, you wait and see. Someone's going to go ahead and earn £100,000," and it does. The game moves on.
Yeah, but finances move on.
It's fine. Yeah, the game has got better. The quality of football. The quality of football has got better. Players are better trained. They spend more time on the training pitch.
I get that. I get that.
But that's fine. That's progression.
Here, a different argument except for the one in your head. Right. So what I'm saying to you is this, is that if there are some teams that are going to go bust because they're not going to be able to keep up with that, and that's something I worry about. I don't want it to be the champion. Well, basically, it's just another Super League, really. You know, they're just got a way of like pulling the wool over everyone's eyes, where, you know, Man City, Chelsea, PSG, who are like literally, if not state owned, they've got oil money. No one can compete with that. No one can compete with the trajectory of what they can afford to spend. So therefore, if you have a cap on transfers, they can only be. And this is what I mean, you're not even listening.
I'm listening, but I can disagree.
You could disagree, but at the end of the day is that the sensible decision would be is that if you have a cap on how much people can actually spend, then what happens is that it makes it more fair for Ajax. It makes it more fair for other teams to be able to build and stay to build to win the Champions League. They don't have to sell all the time. And you don't have all the players. You don't have Man City stockpiling all the players.
So let's just wait. Okay, stop. You've had a long session there.
Let me go to Ellie. He's got his hand up nice and patiently.
Thanks, Maria. Now, I just wanted to quickly have a different viewpoint to this franchisee model. The wage caps. Because the problem is, and this is my viewpoint, you know, with a film, you watch a film, who deserves to get paid the most? The lead actors, why? Because they're the reason you're watching the film. At the end of the day, if football's making a lot of money, the players who are the attraction for the sport, I believe, don't deserve to have a wage cap because they are the reason you're watching it. If they don't get the money, the clubs will get the money. If the clubs get the money, then that's not fair really on the players because the players are the ones doing all the work and the reason that you're going to watch the game in the first place. So from purely from that ethical standpoint, I think it's only right that the players get a reflective percentage of what the club earns as a whole based on their value in return of equity to that club. Secondly, I think the financial fair play rule is a way. It is not perfect, but I think a refined
it's
version.
My friend.
Yeah, but okay, it's non-existent. But I'm saying like a refined version of that is a better solution for our style of the game. Because I think at the end of the day, I think and I know what you're saying about the American, but it is safer for all teams. But it's not kind of like doesn't reward the teams that actually manage to break through either. So like, you know, if say for example West Ham now, for example, next season, say, you know, they've done well, they've got into position, they get more money now than they've probably had for the last, I don't know, 10 years, whatever. So now they're gonna be able to go after bigger players, which should give them a chance of becoming part of that, you know, that elite group. Now, shouldn't they be allowed to? Like Leicester as well, for example, having broken from relegation one season. It took one season out the blue for them to be able to break through and win the league somehow, you know, to put themselves in the right name, with the right kind of people, to get the right kind of players. And now they're kind of up there. But when you have like just, if you have wage cap and salary cap and you kind of level the playing field in that respect, it becomes a different kind of bidding war together. For example, say you look at London clubs always tend to get a lot of players because a lot of people want to live in London after all. So, right. You know, so it's harder for us up north to get some of the players because they just think, no, I want to live in London. And that's a fact. So, you know, all things being equal wage-wise, it gives no benefit to the clubs up north who actually have been performing well over years and have earned the right to be big earners and big spenders. A way to sort of, you know, attract the best players to their club because, you know, at the end of the day, I think it makes it, yes, is it perfect the way it is? No, but we've seen it. Like the way we did it, for example, we didn't have the most expensive squad. We won the league. Leicester have done it. Like West Ham, you know, and all that. It does happen.
The oil money and the big money that you're worried about is here. And still, in top of France, is Lille. They're beating Paris Saint-Germain quite handsomely. Yep. In Spain, Atletico are the third biggest club there, but they're consistently competing with the top two with a much smaller scale, a much smaller wage, much smaller players that they're buying. It's happened here. Leicester and Liverpool are a good example. We've been competing with that oil money. They've been spending millions and millions and millions more than us, Chelsea and Man City, and we beat them last season, and we beat them in the Champions League. So the idea that, oh, the money is something that we can't stop and it's always going to ruin the game, that's just made up because we've proven that it's made up.
So we shouldn't really be punching alongside those teams with oil money. Really?
We're punching in terms of quality is what I'm saying to you. And I'm saying salary caps will not help us. Salary cap would not help us. I agree with Ellie. Like if Salah was told, oh, you can get 100K and play in Liverpool or 100K and play in London, he would have gone to London. He would have gone to London. We had to spend more than the competitive team.
On the transfer cap. So let's say, all right, okay.
But the transfer cap, yeah, I agree with that. But that's Ellie's right. If they implemented financial fair play properly, which is what they really should start doing.
They're not going to, you know, they're not going to.
Yeah, but they're definitely not going to introduce your salary cap. If you're just talking about fantasy, then they're definitely not going to introduce what you're saying.
No, but I'm telling you what's actually there. And I'm just discussing that. I'm not saying it's
going to happen. No, but I'm saying, if they're going to implement something, then it should be financial fair play.
But that's my point, is that Man City have clearly broken the rules.
But they will clearly break the other one. If they're going to clearly break that, they'll find a way of clearly breaking the other one.
But then what's the point then?
Because that's a different conversation.
You're going to be watching Chelsea and Man City run.
No, but that's what I'm telling you. They've been breaking the rules, and they broke the rules last year. We beat them. They broke the rules 2 years before that. We beat them in the Champions League. So you can compete and you can beat them. Leicester have been outspent by all of us
because of that. Then
Leicester have done well. If you want to give us credit, and yes, but so have Leicester. So have West Ham this season.
But Leicester haven't won the Champions League though.
But Leicester have won the league. West Ham are going to be in the Champions League next season.
So.
But yeah. That's a different matter. That's a different matter.
The fact is that we've overperformed. I think the reason we're so. I think this is almost like you see in financial markets where there's sort of like we overperform, then it comes back to where it's actually meant to be. I hate to say it, but where we are is probably where we're at in terms of actual squad quality, if I'm being really, really honest with you. But I still actually think, though, I still believe in the ability of this squad to perform at the top level. All things being perfect, we basically needed a perfect storm in terms of no injuries. That's what I'm saying, Cass. Not in terms of, like, I'm saying in terms of having the perfect squad, everyone fit, you know, then we can compete. But we need that in order to. Now, this season has proven to FSG and everyone else that if we don't have that, we're struggling big time. So the question is, where do we go next? And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting to see what FSG need next. And then whatever they do next, I'll forever... You know, they've had enough evidence now, one way or the other, to say this is what happens if you don't do it. And whatever they decide to do next is a very clear indication for me if they should stay or if they should go.
Reminds me of where we were after the Seville game when we lost in the
Europa League final. Yeah.
And then they invested heavily into the team.
No, they sold Coutinho and invested heavily in the team.
Before that.
Yeah, but that wasn't enough investment. We weren't competing back then.
No, we're doing it. To be fair, no, we got to Champions League final, though.
We made the Champions
League. No, not with Coutinho.
Okay, Coutinho had already gone by then. He played the first half of the season.
We had to sell Coutinho to make that big difference.
That's my point. We got into the Champions League the season before that. Yeah, before we sold.
So you would be happy with fourth next season.
Not good enough.
What I'm saying is that we've been fourth here
this season. Fourth,
no, next season. Let's end this. What would you be happy with next season?
I want us to compete. I want on the last week of. I don't. You know, if we lose the league, oh well. But if in the last week of the season, I want there to be a chance for us to be able to win the league.
That's all you can ask for, really.
And if it's clear early on that that's not happening, or how would
if
you feel
we are out of it by February, then I will join your band.
No, but Jay, don't go with that easy. Just because at the end of the day, that's what I'm saying. Arsenal, for example, are a good example where it's not all the owner's fault. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying the owners are perfect, but they spent heavily in that team. That squad's got some ballers.
No, but Ellie, it's a bigger thing than why they are where they are right now is been years of the fans also accepting and bragging about being in the Champions League, finishing fourth, celebrating. Remember when they were celebrating with Giroud with their fans at Newcastle when they finished fourth in the last day. Like low bar stand. That's why I always push back when Cash says that we are, going to be like Arsenal, because it's never our standard. Even when we were finishing sixth, fourth, or seventh, then there was a desire for us to be where we should be, which is at the top where we are now. So that's what I'm saying is that as long as my team is competitive, by the end of the next season, if we win the league, we win the league. All right, cool. But we have to be competitive in the last week or two of the season.
Yeah, but all I'm saying is that
for the
if
league,
we
not just top four, right?
For the league.
Yeah.
I want my
team. It's not Champions League, clearly.
Champions League is roll of the dice. No one can say who's going to win that. But I want us to be.
Yeah, you can
competing. You can't say that anyone's going. Look at.
Well, you just contradicted yourself again because. But exactly. So you're contradicting. You're saying you can't predict who can win, and then you're saying, "Oh, but it's always going
to
be PSG and Man City."
I want there to be a realistic chance with a full, fully fit squad and not decimated with injuries and stuff like that. At the start of this, before the season started, people were talking about, and this is all sensible people were saying, Liverpool could actually win the league, win the Champions League again.
Sensible, but wrong, which is not the best place.
Yeah, but
to
you
be,
couldn't
to be
say that
you.
At the start of the season. The end of the
well,
day,
you could.
We won,
you could.
We won
could.
The Champions League before. We just added Thiago. Everyone was partying and
you can say
fun.
So you because you can say about next season. Like you can clearly say that if they don't replace Mane, we ain't getting nowhere near the top. If we don't replace Wijnaldum, we are nowhere near getting near the top.
Agreed.
If we don't buy a world class central defender to cover injuries and to cover whatever, we ain't getting nowhere near the top. So Agreed. You can say that now. And if they don't do it, which is what they should have done last season, you can call it out.
What's the guy's name from RB?
Konate. Yeah.
So if we get you, don't
pretty much done. Pretty much done. No,
that would be the defense sorted. I would say get him and Kabak, and then I would say all right. I would say that's defense sorted. You're right. Actually, we do need cover for Trent because he's been awful. And I would also say we even need to. Yeah, goalkeeper, I agreed. That's where I was
Adrian's
going. I don't think Kelleher's good enough. We need we need defenders big time. There's no getting away from that. And we need strikers.
We need
so.
A good six players. Not all the superstars, but we need a good six players.
Yeah.
That's where the £200 million is going to be spent.
There's going to be about 14 players sold. About 14. Trust me. Like guys like Harry Wilson, Shea Ojo, guys like Taya Wanyi and all that. They'll just accumulate
keep
these
keep going. Keep going.
Oxlade Chamberlain, Marco Gruic.
Keep going.
And that's about it. And anyway, so then moving on. Korea, you had something you wanted to talk about, I believe.
Well, actually, I mean, I know we're not mentioning that player that we try not to mention because it leads to eruptions. But there was
he made that statement this week that he's staying.
Exactly.
Oh no, that's the worst news that this club has had since his signing. Can you believe 52 million for that? That is outrageous.
Klopp says his future is in the club, and
Klopp has to say that. If you spend 50 odd million on a player, you have to back him. Even if you're signing his exit, you still have to say, "Oh no, I trust this player. I back him." While you're kicking him out the door, so Klopp will always back him, but he's gone. He is gone.
And suddenly they always start playing. Remember the old trick. Suddenly they start playing in every game.
Yeah, Lallana gets kicked, but he's on the way out. I guarantee you, Keita will play a couple more games before the end of the season, but those will be the last games he plays for us.
We will see. We will see. Time will tell. And then, I don't know, maybe it's best that he does go so this argument actually finishes.
I just want to... You know what?
I'm move on to another player.
Maria, let me tell you one thing, right? I'm just so done because... I've got to the point now. I just want him to play football and be happy. I actually don't mind if he leaves. Like I would rather he played it for us. But if that's not going to happen, I'd rather he just went somewhere he could actually play and be happy. Because I love watching him play and seeing him just sat on the bench here and not playing. I'd rather he went to Germany and Dortmund and played, and then I get to watch him again. Much happier that.
In exchange for Cash Plus Sancho.
Musolowski. By the way.
I don't think... Oh, sorry, Maria.
Go on quickly.
I was going to say, I don't think that we're going to be...
It won't be quick.
I don't think, and I'm happy with us buying high-quality players that aren't at the tip of everyone's tongue. I think that with the four big-name players that everyone's looking to be able to get, like, I can't see us spending that type of money on one player, £120 million, I don't see it. But what I do see is us picking up the next gems that are ready to go. Like the ones that we've been looking at, you know, everyone's been saying that they're really, really good players, very experienced. You know, I'm quite looking forward to who we're actually going to buy, because even the RB Leipzig, you know, defender, he wasn't the one everyone was talking about. You know,
but he actually looks. But apparently, the guys underground guys are actually saying he's actually a better defender. The guys at Leipzig, you know, Klopp's got his people on the ground there. You know,
We've got Kato off him, they were bigging up Timo Werner as well.
Werner put his team in the Champions League final, so put some respect on his name.
I think we do need one more class player. I don't think we're going to compete for the league if we just get these fringe players. We need somebody who's going to start every game next season in attack. And we need a playmaker who's going to start every game as well.
I think there's still, and what gives me hope, if we were going to go with Cassie's plan and not have any form of like restructure and everyone can carry on spending what they do now, then we have to be shopping in Audi and Primark, and we have to find gems. That's what we have to do, and that's what we've been doing, and that's what's made us successful.
That's going
to
happen as well.
And that's our business model. Our business model is to buy low and sell high. That's our business model.
Stop it, Dre. You're not helping. You're not helping me.
Fine with that, because it's worked. It's
won one Premier League in 30 years, one Champions League in 15 years. You can't say it's worked. If you want us to...
You can't say 30 years because FSG have been running it for the last...
If you want us to compete with the likes of Chelsea and City going forwards, we don't need to spend as much as Chelsea and City, I agree, but we need to spend far more than what FSG have shown us for the last 7 years.
That's what I'm saying about the fire extinguisher. How much are you going to... How much do you expect us to spend?
200.
Plus.
It has to be.
You think that we're going to spend 200 plus?
I do, because we're selling that much. I keep saying we're selling about 14 players, you know.
I want a net.
They're not worth 200 million. That those 14.
No, they're not. At least
160 mil.
At least 120 mil will come from there. At least.
Only if you know.
200 mil.
For 14 players, yeah, 14 players.
You guys are throwing out figures, and I'm.
Harry Wilson's worth.
Who is how much?
Harry Wilson, 15, confirm. We got Harry Wilson. We can get 15 bagging the hat trick left, right, center. Yeah.
Shea Ojo is not going to go for 15.
Gruitch.
Yeah.
Porter. All right. Yeah. Origi. All right. 15. Yeah. Fair enough.
You get a pack of Walters. Right.
Shaqiri.
I reckon 15. We'll get 75. Right.
Yeah. And then you look at Ox. Huh? Yeah. Then you look at guys like No, Naby ain't good. No way.
Naby is the most valuable asset that we have.
Of the fringe players, yeah, because he's still got a bit of a reputation in Germany from what he did back there. But you wouldn't send him to a Premier League team for more than 30.
We'll get 75 at least for all those players, but I'd want a net spend of 200. So
net spend of 200. Whoa! Yeah. Okay, now I'm agreeing.
I think you are living in a very optimistic world. I think I
don't think Bissouma is going to win us the league. I don't think the players you guys are looking at are going to win us the league. And it'll be a very frustrating, mediocre, average, run-of-the-mill Arsenal-type season if we get players like that. We want to be getting...
...of all these players, squad players. So,
oh, no. Siki's having a nightmare.
You're saying you start freezing.
More than six players.
FSG got control of his Wi-Fi. They didn't like what you're saying.
Siggy, it only freezes when you get too close to the mic, bro.
When he gets real close to the mic, he really means business. Go on, say it from there.
Say it from a distance.
I was saying, with all those players going as well, you're going to need to get more players in because we don't have...
This guy's a genius.
What? I missed that.
This guy's
all the experience is going, so we have to replace the experience with
But we just need decent players as well. So we need a number of decent players to actually rotate a squad. So you can't just, if you're getting rid of all these players, you can't just say, oh, we're going to get six only and less than the amount we've got rid of. We need to add, it sounds like we need quite a lot of players, to be honest.
But that's my point. It's like, it's a mixture of poor planning, arrogance, and too much celebration.
All right, Trey, Harvey Elliott. Is he staying in the squad? Yes or no?
Come on.
Does he say? Okay. Is he bench worthy? Is he bench worthy? Yes. Cass, would you agree?
Some games.
I would. The way we've treated Shaqiri, I think Shaqiri should go. I think Harvey Elliott should come in.
Okay, so that could count as one. I mean, but he could count as another good first.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one then. All right. So then you look at guys like what's the other? Sorry.
Dre, I don't think the internet likes you lying down like you're in bed already.
thinking of that anniversary.
Oh no!
He's getting ready.
The midfielder from Udinese. I'm moving on quick.
Oh yeah, Rodrigo de Paul. I'd love to get someone like him. But all I'm saying is, also, I forgot to mention Minamino, right? So even if we sell Minamino, we probably get 15. I'm saying it's another one to sell 15, right?
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
Apparently Klopp said to him, if you go to the Olympics, we're going to sell you. And he said, I'm definitely going to the Olympics. So
really?
I think, him and Klopp have had a falling out. So he's gone.
Klopp was just using it as an excuse because he wanted to.
Yeah, probably to be fair.
And that wasn't his signing. That was one of him and Ben Davies is not Klopp signings.
Oh, Ben Davies, we'll get a clean 2 million for him. 2 million.
Nice profit.
Training. Ooh. We trained him.
Profit. I bet you we spent about 2 million on wages.
No, half a million. Oh, maybe wages. Yeah, maybe. No, maybe not 2 million. Yeah.
That's what it's I'm saying. Profit, it's going to be more difficult than you guys think to be able to just like, you can't just splash the cash like Bloody City and Chelsea.
No, but it's very easy for you to rearrange a squad by picking out the fringe players and say, oh, we replace them. But how are you going to replace a starter like Ronaldo? How are you going to replace a starter like Mane? How are you going to replace
Bissouma?
I think Bissouma is a fair switch.
Okay, Bissouma, but Henderson keeps on getting injured and he's going to be 31 next year. How are you going to replace him? We need to think about that now. How are you going to replace Mane? Who's the Mane replacement?
I think Thiago is meant to be the Hendo replacement, if I'm being honest.
He's even old. He's about just as old.
You know who's going to be coming. You know who's coming.
Naby.
Newcastle's going to get that bid.
Oh, here we go.
And then he's coming. Come on, say who he is.
I don't want to say it. I don't like it.
Because he's already said that he doesn't want to play for a team that's struggling down the bottom of the league. So he will come in.
We're struggling in the middle of the league. What's the big difference?
No, that's now, today.
Alan Saint-Maximin. The problem, I think he's great, but he's injury prone. He's injury prone.
No, but I think that at the end of the day is that this. And then also, you push through if you want to play for the team. If you're enjoying your football, you push through. You must look at that team and think, I ain't fucking doing this shit. What am I going? What am I playing with this?
Good thing you're not a pro. Mate, the guy's getting like 70 grand a week, whatever it is. That's why he's getting up.
The push through and play is a nice idea, but we've got players like Ox, Matip, and Naby who should be able to push through playing for Liverpool, Matip's but done. They never do.
Matip's done. I think if you get in Quebec, the new one from RB, I can't pronounce his name.
And are we keeping that Phillips?
I don't know.
I hope we do because I'd be so angry if we sell that. If we sell that Phillips, then that shows a lot about.
I probably would expect, and that's Klopp's decision, no one else's. There are some things that to blame and look at Klopp only for, and Klopp is the reason why we didn't buy players in the summer. I think Klopp was the person.
I'm not convinced
because Klopp was saying at the start, and Klopp doesn't come
he
out.
He wanted a centre back. He did want a centre back. He said, he said it's not ideal going.
But at the end of the day, is it? You're the same person that when we was talking about Werner. We shouldn't really have him to come and sit on the bench.
We got Jota instead. That was a blag. That odds are black.
I think, really, ideally, you should be having both. That's what you should actually be having.
Yeah, fair
point. That's what Ferguson.
What are you saying?
You have to say, well, again, if it works, do it. But, you know, Ferguson,
so FSG,
three or four players that are high quality to compete with the others. They won the league, and I think they bought Ronaldo.
It's hard to remember. They won the league 13 times. So
Nani, pick one. They bought someone else.
I want that domination. I don't want, we won the league once and we won the Champions League once. I want Man United dominance. And to do that, you've got to spend money because they were the biggest spenders in the league at that time. He doesn't want it. He wants to be Arsenal. He wants to be sat there saying,
He wants to be ethical business.
He wants to be the body shop. He wants to be the body shop. He wants to be the body shop of football.
Ethical business. And then what will happen is you'll get your big, big oil merchant who will come in and just literally be like, you know what? I don't really feel like spending much money anymore. You lot will be crying. It'll be your fault.
There's very few examples of those big oil merchants leaving a club in ruins. There's no examples of that.
What about Portsmouth?
We're talking, but they were crap anyway. We're talking about who's won the league and gone down that badly.
Blackburn. Prime example.
The Venkies. To be fair, the Venkies ruined that club. They killed it. No, but in fairness, though, but Dre, look, I don't think any of us really hate FSG. I think, Cass, am I right?
My internet is not having this waffle. Okay. Talk. It's just not
but
having it.
Cass,
sorry.
You don't hate. I was just saying, you don't hate FSG, do you?
They've done good. They've built.
Okay.
They've done good, but I don't think they're going to be the right people to take us to the next level. And this is based on fact. This is not based on, I don't think. I'm saying they've had a chance to invest. They've had a chance to invest a league win and a Champions League win and really make something special, and they've bottled it. And
you get one chance in this world, and you can't make no mistakes.
That's two windows they've messed up. This summer, we're giving them a third chance. How many chances do you give them, Dre? Is third chance enough? Or are you going to say, they messed up in the summer, so let's give them January as well, four chances, or next summer after that?
It's more than three chances, because when you add the summer windows as well...
Exactly.
We got away with it when we won the league. We spent $8 million. The year we won the league, the only player we bought was... The kid. That guy, Van der Berg from
Champions League.
The season before we won the league.
We
only bought like Seth Van der Berg.
I can't remember who we bought.
And then we bought Minamino in January.
And Thiago this summer, and Jota as well. But that's not enough. If you look at those four players over those windows, that's clearly not enough to maintain consistency. He knows I'm right. Look at those players. Minamino, Jota, Van der Berg, whatever his name is, and Thiago. How are they going to be the ones?
Van der Berg's going to get sold, by the way. He's getting sold, by the way. Another one.
He's gone to Wolves, hasn't he?
No, that's on loan.
Van der Berg's on loan at Preston.
Where David came from. Van der Berg's there.
This is a completely pointless exercise. To be fair,
I think we can now conclude that Dre's just happy with us not competing with the big club. Dre's just happy with the one.
What I'm saying is that I've seen success. Unlike you, I'm grateful for that success. I'm happy with that success. What I'm saying is this. If we win, I keep on pointing out to you that FSG has owned it for 10 years, no more than that. So therefore, the other 20 years has nothing to do with them. I don't understand how you lot can't see that it's a one-year fuck-up. One season fuck-up.
When we win something next season,
oh my god,
I don't want to hear shit from both of you two in particular at all.
And you also have to admit that if they don't spend this summer, I want to hear the complaints starting in the summer when we don't spend. I don't want to hear, let's wait and see how they play with this old dead team. I want to hear from this summer. That window closes and we haven't bought any players. You better start coming out with the banner. I want to see the banner. I want to see you burn that shirt.
Right,
Dre's going to be burning that shirt. He's going to be talking about...
He'll be buying it.
He's going to burn the American flag. He's going to burn all of the FSG banners. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Here's the agreement. Cass, I'm going to make an agreement with you and Flaky Suki as well. Right?
Once you make the agreement, Trey, right. We're going to move on to our match because
I'll make my agreement. If they don't buy if they don't spend a significant amount of players if they don't spend over one.
Oh my God! Just say it
in total. Then I will buy your ticket and go with you up to Anfield and hold a FSG out banner.
Ooh.
What was the sum of money? No. What was the sum of money? I need to hear this so I can get it in.
As long as we don't make enough signings.
That's so arbitrary. There's no numbers on that. That's such a nonsense.
150 minimum.
150. 150. He said it. 150. Okay. 150.
Net spend. Yeah. Total spend.
Net spend.
Not net spend. No. Net. Total. Not net spend. Come on, man. Don't. Come on.
Total. 150. No, but he's gonna back out of it. He's gonna say net spend. I know it.
No, 150. I don't care. As long as I see 150 spend on players, that's fine.
No, that's enough. No, that's better than we've done.
And it's all recorded, so we can
visit this
at another time. So, going to move it on because we have quite a lot of time.
They wrote me in again.
If someone's listening to this, can they just time who talks the most? Because I know who's spoken the most this time. There's two people who have gone on monologues. Nah, not at all. I've even sat back and let you and Ellie go on your monologues. But anyway, Maria, let's just time it.
Let's move on. I'll have a look at the time later on when I watch it back.
Thanks, Maria. Voice of reason.
So we were going to talk about Champions League, but I do wonder if maybe we could move that to a conversation next week because it will still be relevant. And we actually just move straight on to Saturday's match against Southampton.
Southampton.
A bit confused, forgotten there.
Minamino FC.
And yeah, let's get some lineups and predictions. And let's start with Suki, because I think Suki's been our quietest tonight. He's been listening, absorbing.
I've just been reveling in Dre losing it.
Go on, sorry. Did you say Dre's losing it?
I've been reveling in Dre losing it after promising he wasn't going to
You lot get me every time.
But I think he's on edge as well because it's his anniversary and he's now missed. We've gone over, so I'm just.
That's his own fault. That's his own fault. There's no sympathy today.
Because I have to set your rubbish straight.
You ain't put nothing straight, though. Suki, talk about the team before I set Dre straight again.
Go for us, Southampton.
I think we'll win it. We'll win it.
Cat hates it when we win.
Yeah. It'll be comfortable actually this time. So I'm saying a 2-0 win to Liverpool.
Comfortable? It's comfortable 2-0 win. Okay.
Second goal sooner than near the end of the second half.
Do you think the lineup will be what was proposed for the Man U game?
No, I think Phillips is back, right, this time?
Yeah. He's back, he's actually back. Mm.
Yeah.
Fabinho goes back into midfield, Phillips and back in defence. Players have had a bit of a rest. I'd like to see a change to the start, to be honest.
Okay.
I'd like to see Jack playing. I'd play Salah. And in midfield, I'd probably go Milner, Fabinho and Thiago. And I'm not sure whether I want Bobby or the Ox. I'd probably go Bobby to start, to be honest.
Okay. Nice. Let's go to Ellie.
Okay. Yeah, no, I actually think pretty similar lineup to Suki, actually, and pretty similar scoreline as well, apart from I think a comfortable win means 3-0, so I'm going to go 3, because the way we're defending, 2 goals ain't comfortable. So, I'm going 3-0. Team-wise, same back four. Midfield, I'm actually going to put it out there. I think I actually agree with Cass. Either way, I think he's going to put... If Keita's gone, he's putting him in the shot window, so I think he could actually get a start here. So I think he could play Fabinho, Thiago, and... Fabinho, Milner, and Keita, higher up. So he can... Like, he's done a couple of times. And then up front, I would go for Jota... to be honest, I would go for Jota, Firmino, Salah, but I think he'll go for the same three. I think he'll go for Salah, Mane, Firmino, personally, but yeah.
Okay, cool. Cass?
There's been a lot of talk again this week about Salah wanting to leave and agitating a move, and I think he is going to go, but I think he's going to play him out for the rest of the season, so we will see him play. I think there's a good chance Keita will play because he's going to put him in the shop window as well. We have to play Milner because we don't have a leader, so he'll be in there. And yeah, the back four will pick itself again, same as. I think we will win it, but it honestly does not matter anymore. It's not going to help us get top four. It's still going to be a struggle. If Man City win the Champions League, if Chelsea win the Champions League, then and they don't finish in the top four, then there's only three places that we're going for, and Leicester have already sealed that third place ahead of us by a long, long way. I think they're like 8 points ahead of us. We ain't catching them up, and we've still got Man United to play. So we're not playing for a Champions League spot, as far as I'm concerned. We'll get a win, but it won't mean much.
Okay. Positive.
Deal is done. 1-1 draw. Yeah. It doesn't matter who plays.
Jay, don't succumb to the.
Okay. Jay,
don't let him do it to you. Don't let him bring you down, man. I remember the old Dre.
That old Dre and Dre, they've worn away my hope.
Oh, Dre, never.
1-1. That last game.
So sad. That makes me.
Yeah, but that happens. He now knows. This will be him in the summer as well, because then he'll go, oh, Cassie, you were right about everything. Because he can't say it now, but he knows I've been right. He knows I've been right from day one this season. And he'll come back in the summer and say, you know what? You were right again.
Bloody hell. I want to hear him say is right two times today. Say,
nah, you can't use Ellie lines. That's old school. That's so bad. You're admitting that I'm right and you're using Ellie's lines. You've got nothing new to say. You just got old rubbish to come up
with. Don't listen to him. It's pure.
His
team is broken. As broken.
Cracked
any form of hope.
He's a true fan, that's why. And seeing his club in this position hurts him. And I can understand that. I can understand your pain, Drake.
It's broken me because it's like that last game against
Newcastle. That was disgusting.
That's it. That was it. That was completely it.
It was actually our Madrid game, because you saw how easily Chelsea dealt with them. They were not in any risk whatsoever, and they just went after them, and they showed how average that team is, and we could not get past them. We didn't even put up a fight against them at home, and that just told me how average our team is right now. That's where, because I thought, I actually, even as negative as I've been about the Premier League this season, I thought, you know what, the Champions League, there's still a chance. Yeah. But they just put no fight in against an average Real Madrid team. And we saw Chelsea just turn them over so easily. And that's where I was like, this team is done.
Oh, Dre.
Pull it back, Maria. Some hope.
I think it's going to be a 3-0 as well. That was I think it's going to be a lovely game. We're going to be really happy.
Yay!
We're going to finish top four. We're just going to be happy the season is over.
Yes, well,
yeah,
my God.
How
many more games we've got now?
There's six left. Five, according to Suki.
Five.
I think Man United would have been the sixth, no? Maybe.
Or maybe, yes.
So the ordeal continues, but we will.
The ordeal.
But... But yeah, let's hope for a big win. Five games, fabulous. Big win on Saturday. And thank you, everyone. And Dre, have a lovely anniversary.
Yeah,
It's over. You're going to spend it with us.
Suddenly he's perked up. He's perked up now.
Tell your loved ones you care about them a lot. Tell FSG you care so much about them. Tell FSG,
I love you. FSG. It's
happy FSG anniversary, FSG.
Yeah, anniversary.
I think it's 11 years of FSG as well, actually. That'll be your
11 years of FSG, and it's been absolutely amazing. It's been amazing. Thank you, FSG.
And we will see everyone again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.